Spotlight. You're on the Armstrong Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
And thank you to all of our awesome patrons for supporting the show, but also supporting all the cool stuff we get to do in the community with our Stop the Bleed programs and our security training that we do. It's just we couldn't do all that without the support of our patrons. So if you're listening to the show and you're not a patron, please become a patron. Our lowest tier is $1. Our highest tier is $10. All right. It's not, I think we have at least that much value in the show, and I sure as hell hope you feel that way as well. So, and that's a month. So $10 a month is our highest tier. It's not that much money. And I hope you guys can help to support us if you're listening to the show. All right. Alumni events. If you are an Independence Training alumni, we have two events we want to tell you about if you're here local to the Phoenix area. August 9th, 6:30 to 9 p.m. over at Premier Martial Arts in Scottsdale, we're going to do a combatives session free to all of our alumni. September the 20th, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. here at the office in Tempe, we're going to be doing a free digital privacy class put on by our buddy Privacy Mike. And so he's going to be doing that. And so got a couple of at least really cool alumni events coming up. And then October, November, December will flow back into shooting-based outdoor alumni events. So there's a couple of them coming up for you guys. Independence Day Action Rifle Match Report. An amazing event. We could do a whole show on it, so I'm going to keep it simple. 79 shooters. Amazing sponsorship. Amazing. We had rifles on the table, optics on the table, triggers on the table, uppers on the table, med gear, rear bags, slings, triggers from three different companies. I think I might have already said triggers, but it was like three different companies had triggers out there. Shit, tons of stuff. I can't even think of everything. It was just so much. It was so fucking awesome, right? Full armor sets. Every single shooter at IDARM walked away with something.
Yep.
And most of them walked away with something that was worth more than the $80 they paid to play the game.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Five stages, running and gunning, small targets, distance targets, more precision rifle-based with carbines. It was fun to watch people with red dots, you know, work through precision rifle type situations and positional shooting and distance. And of course, we still had plenty of run and gun in there as well, but a lot of fun. Overall winner and first place in tactical division was rocking a red dot.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't the arrow, it is the Indian.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that actually for the Red Wire Gear moment, but Independence Day Action Rifle Match, if you're listening and you attended the match, thank you for attending the match. Such a great time. There's a lot of work that goes into putting those types of things together, and then when they essentially go off flawlessly. I mean, look, as the match director, Josh and I, both match directors this year, you know, we're bouncing around the whole damn day fixing freaking problems and answering questions and relieving ROs as they need a break and everything else. So it's not flawless for us, but looking at the match completely, it was an absolute success. Had a great time. Drew got a shoot.
I did.
Was worried about coming in last place. Did not even sort of come in last place. So did a great job.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Okay. Well, there's that idea, I suppose.
Ricky Bobby.
We have an interesting thing I want to talk about because we mentioned at the end of the show that you can host us in your area. And you know, that gives you an opportunity to maybe bring our training to your space if you're not already, you know, having access to something like that in your area. A lot of hosts have to cancel.
Mm-hmm.
And we try, and it doesn't work. Here's why it doesn't work. I had a discussion with a host yesterday who had to cancel. She was very not happy about having to cancel. Here's why people always have to cancel. Because the people you think in your circle give a shit don't. They'll spend all their money on dumb bullshit, but they won't spend it on training. They'll spend all their time binge watching a stupid fucking TV show that doesn't improve or enhance them at all, but they will not come out to train. That's too much time, they say. I don't have the time, they say. That's not true. They don't make the time. I don't have the money, they say. That's not true. They don't prioritize the money. So you'll see that a lot, and we see that a lot. Now, I can literally say in 13 years of doing this and most of that time being hosted places, that is 97% of the time that hosts cancel. It's because they cannot get people in.
Yeah.
And that's just because the people that they thought in their circle were going to prioritize emergency preparedness and self-reliance and all that are just like, nah, forget it. And some people get upset about this, and I go, no, you shouldn't be upset. Look, I'm not upset, right? When hosts cancel, it sucks. It's an inconvenience to our schedule, but man, we're so busy, we'll fill that with something else. Like, and if nothing else, oh my God, I'll take a day off, and Drew and I can maybe go to the lake or something. Like, it's not going to fucking break my heart, okay? I appreciate that people are upset about having to cancel because they understand that this is how ultimately we make our living, and that you know, they wanted to bring that to their area. But here's the thing that it really ought to show you. We did a show, you know, months ago, probably at this point, about, you know, like figuring out who's in your circle. This is a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Who will train with you? Who in your circle will buy another gun, buy another optic, sit around and talk about, you know, in 1996 when they were in the Army or something like that? Who in your circle is that person who just won't shut the fuck up about all this cool, oh man, if I was there, my dang dang, and I would do this, and we don't rise up, don't tread on me, I'm on the way. Who in your circle is that person? And then you're like, hey man, let's do it, you know, let's go to a training class together. And they're like, oh man, I don't have time for that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the money for that. Oh, I don't need that. My training's up to date. Like, that's the person you need to cut out of your circle. They're unreachable. And as I get older and more and more like Clint Eastwood in that, what's that movie where the old guy, Gran Torino? I'm more and more like that guy every day. But I just, there's just some people, most people, they're not going to change.
Yeah.
They're not going to change. And so this is the person you want next to you in a bad situation. And I don't mean a gunfight, Red Dawn, Russian paratroopers. I don't necessarily mean that kind of bad situation. I mean a flat tire.
Yeah.
I mean, so one of you goes through a divorce or a child dies or a very close relative, a family member, a father dies. It really impacts your life. Is this the person you want next to you? The person who's all talk and no game?
Yeah.
No fucking thanks, man. So even though these hosts are upset when they have to cancel, I always try to take the opportunity to remind them. What did you learn from this? Everything's a learning opportunity. What did you learn from this? And they always go like, well, shit, my people aren't who I thought they were. Like, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
On to some news. July 4th shooting in Highland Park amuses me. And before you get upset, let me tell you why. There were 7 victims in the Highland Park shooting. Very horrible situation. A lot of them older folks. There was, you know, some kids involved, et cetera, et cetera. No one who died, I don't believe, was a kid. I'm looking at the ages right now. Yeah, no, none of the kids, no one who died was a kid, but there were kids there, and it was all very, very scary stuff. And that's horrible. A shooting at a parade. In Chicago, not far from where this happened, I think 54 shootings last week.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Quit watching the news and trying to get your information from the news. I mean, we share some of it with you, but it's amusing to me, you know, where everyone wants to raise a stink because, oh my God, there was a shooting and oh, look at these people who died. And this is tragic. This is horrible. These families didn't deserve this. Let's not forget about all the other shootings that happened in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another example. A 20-year-old woman pushing a baby stroller with a three-month-old baby in it was shot point blank in the head in Manhattan's Upper East Side, which is where big money is.
Yeah.
Big money in the Upper East Side. Police arrest the guy, maybe, but here's the ultimate purpose of the story. There's two purposes of the story. One is look at all the gun restriction in places like Chicago, where the Highland Park shooting happened, and New York City, where this woman was murdered. All that gun control doesn't do shit. It's never done anything. And this is where I start talking about people like, you know, cutting people out of your circle. It's like, if you have people in your circle who are still like, you know, Bob's a good guy. He's a good dad. He takes care of his people. You know, he's good at his job. He's a nice guy, you know. And Bob, but you know, Bob's got some weird ideas about, fuck Bob. I don't give a fucking, get Bob the fuck out of your life. He's not a good dad. He's not a good caretaker. He's not, if he can't, if your friend Bob, if your coworker Bob, if your family member Bob doesn't understand this shit, get him the fuck out of your life.
Yep.
Like, the hard lines must be drawn at some point. And the more that we just live and let live, the more we're going to get fucked over. And that is what is continuing to happen in our country. That's why these laws got put into place in the first place. Because everyone's like, well, it sounds like a good idea.
Have you noticed all the mass shootings are in most of the states that have the highest gun control?
Yeah, that's always how it goes.
They're never in states that have concealed carry licenses.
Oh, I'll freaking do you one better. The most violent countries in the world are the countries that have the strictest gun control.
Yeah.
The highest level of victimizations for assaults and sexual assaults in the world happen in places where there's incredibly strict gun control. It's never been about guns, and it's always been about control. And friend Bob, cousin Bob, buddy Bob doesn't understand that. Get him the fuck out of your life.
Yep.
The interesting part about the story, the second part, I mentioned there were two interesting things. The first thing was, you know, you're not safe, all right? You got to take care of yourself. And if you live in a place where the government takes your right to defend yourself, then realize sooner or later you're going to find yourself up against a wall and you're not going to have anything. You're not going to have any way to do it. Second purpose of this was how CNN specifically put some weird information at the bottom of the story. At the very bottom of the story, for no reason and no relevance, they put these two pieces of information. That the New York governor signed into bill a law to restrict CCW firearms into sensitive locations such as government buildings, schools, hospitals, subways, and all of Times Square. And that last month the New York governor signed a law that raised the minimum age to buy an assault rifle to 21. None of those points of interest had anything to do with the story. But literally, I'm looking at the story right now. You scroll down to the bottom, and there's this stupid information in there about gun control shit. It also talks about how the mayor unveiled a blueprint to end gun violence, which includes long-term goals to grow economic opportunities, improve child education, and improve more access to mental health resources while addressing the gun crisis. And then again, of course, they go on and talk about ghost gun retailers. It's just like, what does this have to do with this woman getting shot in the head? I'm telling you, they will take any opportunity to push their bullshit. I think last week we had mentioned the breach of information in California, so I just kind of wanted to go over that a little bit more. Data breach exposes the private information of all California concealed carry permit holders. The California Department of Justice suffered the breach as part of the launch of its firearms dashboard portal. So they launched the portal, and immediately personal information wasn't supposed to be visible and was 100% visible. It includes, but not limited to, someone's name, age, address, criminal identification index number, and license type. Jiminy Christmas. So the Supreme Court comes out and says, we forbid states to require an applicant to show a need to receive a CCW. And literally less than a week later, California accidentally posts all their information on CCW.
That's crazy.
This shit is not coincidence. This isn't like one of those things where it's like, what a joyful coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. It is by design, man. These are your leaders. These are the people that are supposed to be taking care of the people, and they keep doing this shit, and we keep doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. What do California permit holders do for this? Nothing, because they never do anything. They sit around. I love when people are all excited. I mean, we talked about it, the week before. Everyone's all excited. Look what California's going to allow. Allow? Are you fucking goddamn fucking kidding me right now? Allow? They're going to allow them to do this? How brainwashed have you been?
A lot.
That you think that the government gets the opportunity to allow you oh, we're going to allow you now to carry guns again. We're going to allow you to have a permit now.
Yeah.
Bend the knee and praise us. Look at what we're allowing now. This fucker should be hung from street posts.
Yippers.
What a joke. All right, Redwire gear moment. Know the limitations of your optic. This was a big lesson for most people in IDARM. We had four different divisions. Two of those divisions specifically had limitations on optics. So one being like red dots and non-magnified optics, and the other one being anything with magnification. Could be a magnifier on your red dot, could be a low power variable, a full variable, ACOG, fixed sight, whatever it was, something like that, right? And there was a lot of people getting big lessons on limitations of optics at IDARM. And I think that the Independence Day Action Rifle Match. And I think that that's a really important lesson for everyone to remember is what is it? What is the purpose of the gun? So we get asked this all the time, like when people go, what optic should I get for this rifle? And I was going, I don't know. What are you trying to do with it? Do you want to be an all-around gun? Is it a hunting gun? Is it a home defense gun, a self-defense gun, a competition gun? If it's a competition gun, what kind of competition? Okay, now it's self-defense, home defense. Where do you live? Do you live on a ranch somewhere out in the middle of nowhere? Do you live in town? Like, what's your expectation? Are you going to have to PID targets at distance? Are you going to have to, you know, make small percentage hits? Are you going to have to engage at distance? You know, are you just going to be close quarters running and gunning? Are you going to be using this alongside night vision? Are you going to be using this with low light, no light capabilities? Are you going to be, you know, attaching a weapon light to this and using it for that? All those things drive your optic. And in addition to that, knowing what your reticle is capable of. What was this reticle built for? Was this built to look cool? It has a reason and a purpose. What was it? It might not fit your reason and purpose. So I don't give a fuck what unit uses it. I don't care. What was the reason and purpose of the optic? What was the reason and purpose of the reticle? That includes just regular red dots. People are like, well, reticle is just a red dot. Oh, boy. If I could say all red dots are not created equal, let me tell you what. That is a lesson I would burn into the brains of every freaking student who comes through our classes. All red dots are not created equal. So know the limitations of what your optic is capable of doing. There were people trying to make, you know, 300-yard, 200-yard, you know, shots on gray targets against gray backstops with red dots, and they were just having a hard time making out the fucking target.
Mm-hmm.
It matters. A little bit of magnification goes a long way. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. All right, moving on to the topic for this week, the progression of training and how to create basically a training and practice plan. So I'm just going to kind of go I'm going to go into basically my own process. I'm going to share with you guys what I do. This isn't necessarily exactly what I tell students. This isn't necessarily exactly going to fit what you need. So I'm going to tell you what I do. Drew will chime in here and talk about what she may or may not want to change. But we're not just talking about shooting here, okay? Listen to the topic of the show, the progression of training and how to create a training and practice plan. Now, if we're going to say training and practice in the same sentence, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to, in my personal opinion, define these two things. Training is what happens when you go to a training class. And a training class, let's say an independence training class. You might learn medicine. You might learn combatives. You might learn shooting. You might learn survival. Training. You're learning how to do something. The process. You're getting knowledge. You're not building skill. You're understanding application. You're gaining knowledge on a topic. Because most of the time, you're only going to spend a day or two with us. Now, you have to take that information and you have to practice it. You have to contextualize it to your life. You have to make it work within your physical or mental limitations. You have to be able to take that skill or technique and you have to practice it. Training, I've mentioned this on the show before, when I first started running with Drew years ago. Training was Drew showing me how to run. Run like this, she says. Let me show you how your foot's supposed to fall. Let me explain to you how your foot's supposed to fall. Okay, cool. I'm a pretty smart guy. I understood exactly what she was saying. She told me why. Why is this important to do? I understood exactly what she was saying. We got new shoes. I understood exactly the benefit of those shoes. The training was complete.
Mm-hmm.
However, it took me a long fucking time of practice, probably a good solid month of running and being incredibly specific about how I ran. Watching, literally watching my feet hit the ground. Videoing myself and going back and watching my feet hit the ground. Looking at any wear spots on shoes, because when you have new shoes, you can you can track that kind of stuff. It was a lot of work. Practice is a lot of work. The training element's a lot of work too, but you could come to a training class and learn five different skills. Okay, we're going to show you these five different things in class. Well, maybe only three of them are really applicable to you. So those are the three then that you practice. You're trained, quote unquote, on the other two, but that doesn't necessarily mean you can apply them. So there's a difference between training and practice. Practice, you know, to further into that, people say, well, practice makes permanent. Exactly. Practice makes permanent. Training is where we learn. Training is where we're exposed to new information, new ideas, new knowledge. But practice is where we make permanent. So now that we've defined that, let's start my process. Step number one, don't lie to yourself. I've said it on the show before. I'll say it again. I don't give a fuck about what you used to be able to do. Don't care. I don't care. I know how much I used to be able to lift, how far I used to be able to hike, how fast I used to be able to run, how long I used to be able to go without sleep, et cetera, et cetera. I know that. I'm almost 40 years old. So things have changed. Made. Yeah, I know. Things have changed a little since I was 20. And I'm not going to Uncle Rico this shit and start, oh, man, if I could just – and then back then I could fucking throw a football clear of those mountains. Nobody gives a shit. First of all, nobody cares. Right? And you yourself should not care. And those people who get stuck in that loop of constantly looking backwards can never move forward. Try it. Try looking backwards and walking forward. See if it fucking works. Physically, it doesn't work. So stop doing it mentally. Stop looking backwards. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie about what your capabilities are. I hear this bullshit a lot with any skill. I could do it if I had to. No, you can't. No, you fucking can't. You can't just magically grow skills, abilities, and strength. Well, adrenaline will help me. That's only said by people who've never had an adrenaline dump. What you don't really want is an adrenaline dump. That's what your body does, is literally a last ditch effort.
And then you are basically, once you have that, you're done. You have drained all of your adrenaline, and now you are fatigued, highly fatigued. Good luck trying to do anything else.
And there's a lot of battle tactics of the enemy that focus around putting people into an adrenaline dump, withdrawing, and then when they go into parasympathetic response, attacking again.
Yeah.
Napoleon used it to great effect with a much smaller army to overcome a lot of opponents.
Yep.
So don't lie to yourself. Sit down and be truly, brutally honest with yourself. I had a student years ago who came to us and said, it's 2:00 in the morning. I was sitting. We call that the golden hour or the
witching hour.
The witching hour, which is.
Oh, that was 3.
The time you can't lie to yourself, between 1 and 3.
Oh, okay.
Right? The time you can't lie to yourself. So he's like, I'm sitting on the couch, 2:00 in the morning. Woke up from a bad dream. Walk out, get a drink of water, sit on the couch. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I used to be so strong. I used to be so fast. I used to be so capable. If someone broke into my home right now, could I stop them? If someone came after my family right now and they were hell-bent on hurting my family, I don't think I could stop them. Because as much as I might want to do that, the will, I don't have the skill.
Yeah.
And the will without the skill, just like the skill without the will, isn't going to work. So he's like, I don't think I could do it. And then he started training. He didn't just start shooting. He got in better shape. He started rolling jits. He started boxing, started shooting, learned medicine. Improved his skill sets 100-fold. And he practiced. He put the time in. He didn't just come to a couple training classes. He put the time in to practice. It was his every day. So don't lie to yourself. Be honest, brutally honest with yourself. The next step is, now that you've been honest, prioritize. Now, we prioritize through this, you know, risk reality thing that we've got, but you can prioritize however you want, especially when you're looking at skills and what you're trying to, you know, build in training. Prioritize. Okay, I want to get better at these five things or whatever. Prioritize them. Which one is going to have the most positive impact on my life? I want to get better at shooting handguns. I want to get better at moving, you know, over long distances and varied terrain. I want to get better at, I don't know, being a good partner in my relationship. I want to get better at fighting physically. And I want to get better at, you know, not having a fucking heart attack, right? So let's take a look at all those things. Which one of those is going to have the biggest impact on survivability? Now, I can't answer that for you. Because based on your job and your life and the context of how you live and where you are at with some of those other things. Like to me, I can easily say improving my shooting has the smallest amount of impact on my overall survivability because I'm a really accomplished shooter. But for someone who's not an accomplished shooter, that may need to be higher up on the priority list. They're like, hey, I'm already in like pretty good shape. You know, I already can move, you know, over varied terrain very easily. You know, I already have these other skill sets. I'm already, you know, pretty good at my personal relationships. Everyone can improve on that. But, hey, I feel like I'm doing pretty good there. But, man, I can't shoot for shit. Or maybe he's a great fighter, but he can't shoot. Maybe he can shoot, but he's not a good fighter. All these things you have to prioritize. What's the most important thing to you? Prioritize it. What's going to happen? And set the metrics on what you're going to use for prioritization, not what's the most fun. For me, a metric for prioritization is going to have something like, what's going to have the biggest impact on my survivability? What's going to have the biggest impact on my ability to take care of my people? Those are the things I'm primarily concerned about. Then set a standard and a measurement base. A standard in shooting, we use accuracy and time. But you could say that you use accuracy and time in damn near everything for trying to improve. In running, we use accuracy and time. How far did you run and how long did it take you? You know, that's an accuracy and time standard. In shooting, obviously, accuracy and time. You know, so whatever you're trying to improve, if you're trying to get stronger, accuracy and time, right? How many reps in a set? How many sets? How long? How much weight? Et cetera, right? We're using some type of measurement and then some type of standard. So create a standard by going out, in my opinion, this is how Glenn does it, right? This may or may not work for you. I set a standard by doing the thing as hard as I can do it. So, you know, if I'm trying to break a running time, I don't want to know how fast I can run. I want to know how fast I can't run. So I'm going to push for one run, just one run only. I don't need to do it a whole bunch of times. I just need one. I'm going to go out and I'm going to push as hard as I can, like the kind of push that takes internal fortitude to complete, to where you're done. You're like, my God, that hurt me so fucking bad. And then you look at that and you go, okay, that's how fast I can't go. I can't maintain that. Yeah, I can accomplish it once. But I can't do that. You're going to want to go lift weights? Pick when your arms are shaking and your body is like, don't, fucking don't. And you do it anyway and you get one or two reps maybe. Awesome. Now you know what you can't do. Now that's not your standard. But now you have something to fucking base something off of. If some people tell me, like, yeah, man, I deadlifted 300 pounds. And I go, I have no idea what that means to you. Is that good? Is that good for you? I don't know what that means for you. I know what that would mean for me. I don't know what that would mean for you. You know, I see some guys at the gym, they're like, I deadlift 300. I'm like, is that it? You look like you could deadlift a car. You know what I mean? That's all you're doing is 300? Wow, is it a light day or what? I see other people who are like, I deadlifted 300 pounds. I'm like, Jesus Christ, bro. That's fucking insane. Look at you. That's twice your fucking body weight, man. That's awesome. So what standard are you going to judge yourself up against? Well, let's start by finding a metric that we can work within. How far can't I go? What can't I do? And now we find out what I can do. So now that I've set this standard, in my opinion, I would set the hardest one first. What can't I do? And then I go to what can I do? All right, I can maintain this run, these reps, you know, this whatever that I'm trying to improve, I can maintain it at this level. And you can use this for damn near anything you do. I mean, I mentioned like relationships earlier. You can use this for relationships too. If I put all my time and energy and effort, I mean, for just a week, just dedicate yourself to this person, friend, you know, spouse, significant other, kid, whatever it is that you're trying to do in life. 100% of your extra free time, you just, your whole everything goes into this person. And then at the end of that few days or that week or whatever, be like, can I maintain that for the rest of my life? Okay, no fucking way. That was way too much. That took everything out of me. Okay, now I know what I can't do. Okay, now what's easy for me to do? Or what's not easy necessarily, but what can I maintain? I can maintain, you know, I'm going to take my spouse out for, I don't know, a weekly date or something, you know. I can maintain that. We've got the time. Our schedules line up. Play with my kids an hour a day or something. Right? I can maintain that. That's realistic for me. All right. Okay. So now you have a standard of what's accomplishable without any extra effort and what insane effort looks like. And now within that, we set the new standard. So if I'm trying to improve my running time, for example, all right, because I've talked about this on the show already, so I'll use this as an example. I know that right now, if I run balls out as hard as I can run about a 6:15 for 2 miles. And that hurts me, right? I'm not built as a runner. That hurts, right? When I come home from that, it's painful. I get runner's cough. I'm like, can't control my breathing for like 15 minutes. It hurts. I know that I can maintain almost, I wouldn't say as far as I want, but reasonable to as far as I normally run, which is, you know, between 3 and 6 miles, I can maintain about a 7:20. That's a good maintenance run for me. Like I can go out, I can do that, and I can manage it, right? It's a little tough still, but I can do that. So there's my standard. Somewhere between 6:15 and 7:20. So I say to myself, okay, what's a realistic goal? Well, I can't just go halfway in between because that's a lot of improvement in running. So I go, okay, let's see if I can get a sub 7 mile. Just, I don't care if it's 6:58, right? Can I maintain, let's say, a sub 7 mile? And how long can I maintain that for? And then, you know, I hit about 3 or 4 miles and it's like, oof, that's a hard one. You know, that's a butt kicker. Okay, now that's the standard I'm working on, or whatever it is for you. Like I'm just using this as, you know, some personal example here, but you're setting your standard between the two things, the thing that's comfortable, you know, you can accomplish, and then the thing that's like, man, I can do that, but fuck, you know, it's hard. Because I can't say, well, I want, you know, my standard is going to be set up against, you know, some 5-minute mile or something like that. Because that's never going to be me. Mostly because I have no desire for it to be me. So it's never going to be me because I don't care for it to be me. So set that standard. Then set the effective ways to measure it. How are you going to hold yourself to some type of measurement? How are you measuring, you know, this standard? Is it accuracy-based? Is it time-based? Is it a balance of the two? Is it the results? Is it a response that you're looking for maybe, you know, from yourself or from somebody else? If I'm trying to improve on this thing, what is my measurement that I'm using? If your measurement is your old self, fucking stop. I already told you that shit. Stop fucking measuring yourself against your old self. Nobody gives a shit and you shouldn't either. You're you. You're you now. You're not you then, you're you now. So fucking stop. It's okay to go, hey, I used to be able to do that. It's good to be proud of what you used to be able to do. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to get back to that. But it's not wanting to get back to it because that's what you used to be able to do. It's wanting to get back to it because of how it made you feel or how it improved you. And then there's also the reality of saying, my father's 76 years old and there's probably never going to be a time in life where he's going to out-hike me again like he could when he was 50. That's probably not ever going to happen. And if he sets that standard for himself, then all he's going to do, because he's not being realistic, is hurt himself. He's going to hurt himself already more than he's hurt. and he's going to be disappointed, and he's never going to achieve that standard or that goal. I'm all about lofty, high goals, but I'm also about realistic things. And I'm not saying set yourself up for low standards and be a little bitch about it. That's definitely what I've never talked about on the show. What I'm talking about is being realistic about what you can accomplish so that you can have some success. Because having some success is important. You have to have success along the way. If you're just getting beat down because you can't maintain the standard that you set for yourself, then you need to adjust that standard. Hey, man, maybe you set a standard that was a little too high. I'm not saying be a little baby back bitch and be like, oh, I'll never get there. Oh, me. Oh, my dad didn't play ball with me or whatever makes you super sad. That shit is ridiculous. Don't do that. Just be realistic about the fact that, hey, you know what? This isn't for me right now. I need to back it off a little bit so that I can be realistic, so I can achieve something. There's nothing wrong with setting a goal that you can achieve. That way you can go, cool, I got to this point. Now let's get to the next point. Okay, now let's get to the next point. No one who ever became a ultra marathon runner said, okay, it's my first run. I'm running 25 miles, right? And then they couldn't make it. And then they were like, oh, I'm never going to be an ultra marathon runner because I can't run 25 miles. Like, yeah, you're right at all that. And that's how you're setting yourself up.
And during this whole process, people are going to fail. Everybody does. You fall off the wagon and, you know, you skip training days, you skip practice days. And people just have to remember that everybody makes mistakes along the way. It's the willingness to continue and push forward.
So once you're working on this process, which I call the building process, now I'm looking at building my skills. So I'll stay with the running thing for a second. Okay, so I want to get faster at running. So all I'm going to do is run, right? No. Wrong. I'm not just going to run. I'm going to go do some suicides.
You're going to do strength training.
I'm going to do strength training.
You're going to walk.
I'm going to walk a little bit. I'm going to make sure I walk everywhere that I can. I'm going to make sure I stretch out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take care of my body. I'm going to maybe start looking at taking some supplements that increase my performance. I don't mean like drugs. I mean like
glutamine.
Yeah, gluten or glutamine and stuff like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the most common mistakes that people do is whether it's – we'll use running as an example again – most common mistakes that people do is underfuel their bodies. Mm-hmm. They are not properly getting enough nutrition mm-hmm. because they're trying to have this mindset of they need to be slim and fast, so they starve themselves. Runners eat so fucking much. Carbs are one of the biggest part of a runner's diet because they need the carbs to burn off. That is the biggest fuel for runners, carbs and protein. And if you're not having a well-balanced diet and you're not eating more than you would normally when you're training, mm-hmm. you are going to kill yourself. And proper nutrition applies for everything. If your dieting is like the worst possible thing you could ever do to yourself, if you have proper nutrition and you're exercising or you're running, that is going to burn off because your body needs the fuel. You can't starve yourself and then expect to go work out in the gym and get the desired results. That's not how it works. Like, you have to have proper nutrition to maintain and continue to perform at a high athletic performance that you're wanting.
And during this time, there's other things you're going to have to do as well. Like, yeah, you're going to have to look at how you're fueling your body. You're going to look at how you're sleeping. You're going to have mm-hmm. to consider your hydration level. You're going to have to consider your other exercises that you're doing, your strength training, your stretching, your walking. You're going to consider how are you doing emotionally. Now, we've talked about this on previous shows about like setting standards. You know, there's things you may do in your life during certain points of your life that you do because of entirely different motivating factors. Mm-hmm. What you could do, let's say, when you were in the military is not this – you had an entirely different motivating factor. You were working in a very, you know, probably team-based environment. You were doing things, exercise, everything in a team-based environment. No one wants to let their – you know, in my opinion, from my experience, no one wants to let their team down. Nobody wants to – you know, no one wants to be the slowest guy on a run. Nobody wants to be the guy who falls out. No one wants to be the guy who you can't accomplish the task. And so that motivates you. That pushes you. Well – those factors, those situations, they change. And as they change, your motivation changes. And so now the emotional support – I get a lot more emotional support now from Drew than my team because I don't work and live with my team anymore. I work and live with my wife. And so my wife is a huge motivating factor in my life. If things are at odds with us, I'm going to have a harder time performing. Every fucking time. Like my job, my training, my physical fitness, my everything is going to suffer. Because that's a – for me personally, that's a place I draw a big part of motivating factor from. If I don't get my spouse on board with what I'm doing, it's going to be hard during this building process for me to complete the task. So during the building process, you got to build. Think building a building. You've set the foundation for what you want to accomplish, but all that's really happened is you've drawn out the plans. Now you can't – if you're only a framer, well, you're not going to build a lot of buildings because you're going to need concrete and plumbing and roofing and everything else. So there's a lot – in the building process, you have to look at all the other factors that are going to build this skill that you're trying to work on or this development that you're trying to improve. What are all the other factors related to this thing that are going to improve me? The next part of the process is establishing a baseline through competition. At some point in time, you have to see how you stack up against other people that are also doing this. Now, I'm not going to go and run against a marathon runner. I'm not going to go and try to box a professional boxer. That's ridiculous. You're just going to get your shit kicked in. I'm not worried about that. But of other people of similar situations, similar mindsets, similar skill levels, I'm going to go compete against them. Now, that may be an actual competition. It may be a shooting class. It may be a running group. You know, we have running groups. I kind of know where I'm at in that running group. You know, I use some people in the running group as kind of a baseline for where I ought to be. Hey, this person's about my age. They're about my physical fitness level. If they can do it like this, I should be able to do it like that. You know, I'm not going to look at, you know, the guy in our group that's been running since he was 18 years old. You know, he's been running.
You could. You just have to take your shirt off.
Yeah. Yeah. I also have to run shirtless all the time. But my point being is just like that's not the guy I'm comparing. This guy runs – it's not a hobby. It's not even a lifestyle. It's not an addiction. It is an identity.
Yes.
It is his identity. That's yes. Running is not my identity at all, not even sort of, kind of, a little. If Drew tomorrow was like, we should stop running, I'd be like, all right. You know what I mean? Running's out of our life forever, right?
But you'd be so happy.
But my point being is it's like I'm not going to compare myself to that guy. Find other people that you can kind of establish a baseline against. Hey, this person's about my skill set. They're about my capability. You know, I should be able to do what they can do, kind of thing, and establish that baseline. It doesn't have to be through competition, like, you know, okay, player one versus player two kind of competition. It's just going to be an event, a race, a, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you know, mat time, you know, open mat kind of stuff. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be an actual like winner-loser competition necessarily, though, of course, as you guys all know, I'm a huge fan of that. After you've established this baseline of kind of where you wanted to be and now where you are, especially compared to other people who are on the same journey, reevaluate. Is this still the thing I want to be working on? Do I still need to be doing this? Did I accomplish the goal and standard now that I've put myself up against other people? I've hit my standards. I've done all my stuff. Do I need to improve? Is this something I need to get better at? Or have I reached a point where this is as good as it needs to be based on the context of how I'm going to be applying it? And now it's time to reprioritize and then start the whole damn process over again. And then just keep doing all that until you die. Never stop improving. Never stop training. And then never stop practicing what you learn during training. So I'll read through the process again. Understanding the difference between training and practice, number one. Don't lie to yourself. Be brutally honest with yourself. Not deprecating. Remember, I was told years ago by someone, you should never say anything to yourself that you wouldn't say to someone that you greatly respected. So be brutally honest with yourself. But not self-deprecating. That's not beneficial. Prioritize what you want to work on based on what you think is going to increase your survivability the most. Set a standard and measurement system. Build all the other related skills along with whatever you're trying to improve. establish some kind of baseline through competition. Doesn't have to be a direct competition, but something that allows you to put a baseline or set a baseline based on how other people are performing. Once that's you've seen where you're at, reevaluate where your priorities are, reprioritize, start the whole process over again and continue. I hope you guys drew something out of that that will help you improve. That's my plan. That's how I do it, basically. If you have any questions, feel free to shoot us an email, info@trainingaz.com. We're happy to help, of course. Our independence training moment for this week. What did Drew and Glenn do this past week to better prepare any of the four zones for an emergency? We upgraded one of our vehicles to make it a little bit more effective and more linear with the other vehicles. If there's one thing that we really like in our life, Drew and I, we like things to be roughly the same. So if whatever Drew has, I want to have, whatever I have, Drew wants to have. We want to have things be basically the same. Like none of our equipment is so drastically different. If I have to go hop in Drew's truck or she has to go hop in mine, our vehicles aren't drastically different.
They're set up pretty much the exact same of if we can put our things exactly in the same spot in case of emergency situations. If we have to access something, we know exactly where it is in both vehicles.
Guns, med kits, backpacks, you know, vehicles, everything we can. And so Drew's vehicle was a little not as set up as my truck was in regards to mostly lights and clearance capability. And so we increased both of those things. And now that we have the new lights on Drew's vehicle, I kind of want some new lights on my truck because the lights we got on Drew's vehicle was like, holy shit. By the way, if you're in Arizona, Westcott Designs in Phoenix, amazing to work with. Amazing.
They are awesome.
Amazing. Top-notch customer service all the way around.
Yep.
Those guys don't know how to not do customer service. They're so fucking good at it.
Every single one of their employees.
Every single one of them.
Yep.
And it's great to like stand around in the parking lot and bullshit with the owner and you're bullshitting with the salesman over here and then this other salesman comes over and they're all excited about, you know, what you got. Everybody wants to see it. They're taking photos. It's like, it was nonstop great customer service at Westcott Designs.
Yep. It was awesome.
And they don't just focus on Toyotas. I'm going to have them do some stuff to my Ford probably. They've got some other stuff that other vehicles in there. They just go in there and see if they can do something for you.
Yep.
They're amazing. Amazing. So that's what we did. You can bring us out to train with you, like we talked about earlier. Get hosting information via email, info@trainingaz.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, Redwire Gear, MRC Phoenix, and Premier Martial Arts Scottsdale. We are proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Be sure to check out all the wonderful things that they're doing over at that organization. Next week, we're going to be talking about mils versus minutes and other important rifle shooting knowledge. I'm going to be going over some very common questions that we get from our student base when we're training them. So until next time. Stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.